Is this extemporaneous, or are you? All right, well, never mind. Okay, she's like, I don't know how to answer that. Hey, we're gonna dive back in, hopefully finish up this series, which we've been calling Strong and Healthy Marriages. And I think this is part five. And last week we shared one point out of a four-point message, and that was basically that one of the greatest habits that you can form as a couple, quite honestly, is to learn to pray together and to trust God together as a married couple. By the way, this is for singles or marrieds both. Please, if you're single here, you lean in and listen in, because you're going to learn some stuff that'll prepare you, that'll help you. If you've been married but you're not presently married, this will equip you and help you for the future. So lean in. Put your mic up.
Relationships in general to help.
You think?
So yeah, I do.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, doll. All right, so we were talking about habits, and I love to talk about habits because a habit is an acquired, oh, by the way, here's the wedding from yesterday. Isn't that beautiful? And that's
It was really beautiful.
That's the first kiss of actually many yesterday. I've never seen that quite happen before, but that was pretty cool. In fact, check out the groomsmen's reactions over there. I think this is kiss number 3 I caught. No, I'm just kidding. But it was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. So a habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it's become almost involuntary. And if you're going to have a strong and healthy marriage, it's not just going to be because of chemistry. It's not just going to be because you married your soulmate. It's going to be because you work at it. It's going to be because you do things day in and day out that others probably don't do. And habits, we're all an accumulation of our habits. So if you want to know a person and you want to know what they're about, you want to know what's important in their life, look at their habits. It'll be the most revealing, telling thing. What do they do on a daily basis? One of my favorite little sayings is a champion does every day what others just do every once in a while. So your habits are going to make you or break you. And here's the stat. We talked last week about the first habit, which I believe is probably the most important, but is building that habit of praying together regularly and trusting God together as a couple. And here's the statistic that just undergirds that. Less than 1%. This is an official study. I mean, this is a real study that was done with 1,156 couples. They charted them over a season of time. And the divorce rate for those who prayed together on a daily basis was less than 1%. Isn't that amazing? In other words, you add this one habit of praying and trusting God together, and it takes you from what has generally been said about a 50% divorce rate to about a 1%. That's a pretty positive gain right there, wouldn't you say? Just getting into this habit is so important. And I want to encourage you to do that. This morning, I want to talk about what I think is probably the second most important habit, and that is resolving negative feelings daily. One of the things Tracy and I have been studying and growing in is called emotionally healthy discipleship. Because quite honestly, your relationship's never going to rise above your level of emotional health. And quite honestly, just because you've been a Christian for a lot of years doesn't mean you're emotionally healthy. In fact, one of the reasons the body of Christ has a PR problem in our world today is because we've gotten saved, but we've deep down not changed. In other words, you know, we talk about Jesus, we go to church, but we're just as angry, we're just as unforgiving, we're just as spiteful, we say just as mean and cruel things as anybody else. And our marriages are often racked with that kind of emotional instability because we're not really going down deeper. If you've ever seen a picture of an iceberg, only about 10% of that iceberg is above the water. The rest is below the water. And it's kind of that way with us. We love to have these images that look good, and we love to put an image out, but underneath the surface, if we're not letting Jesus change us, then we're not going to be emotionally healthy. Our relationships are going to be affected, and probably especially our marriage.
Well, we leak. You know, unprocessed emotions, they have a habit, you know, they come out. They come out through sarcasm, they come out through jabs, right? I mean, we're all like that, but it's because we're not really processing those negative emotions. And so they just kind of stay inside, but then they come out, they leak out and hurt people and us.
I'm glad we've never had that problem.
No, never. Yeah.
And by the way, if you're thinking that today, this is probably really for you. You hear me? We have had that problem.
Oh,
we've had some jabs along the way.
Oh,
we've
yes.
Had some,
leakage.
We've had some leakage.
Yeah.
We've
okay.
had some long,
sleepless.
Intense, sleepless nights, arguments. Yes.
And it was not yesterday.
In fact, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place or nor give place to the devil. One of the things this tells us, honey, is that anger is okay. It's actually an acceptable emotion. And I don't know where we ever got the idea in the church that you could never get angry. But
right.
we kind of act like that's not acceptable.
Right.
But what we do a lot of times, don't you think, is we hide it.
We do, and that's that unprocessed emotion. We think that to be a Christian, we just always need to be nice all the time. Nice. I have to be nice, you know, and God wants me to be nice. So we just stuff it down inside, but then what happens? Bitterness grows, and that sarcasm comes out. We get that real cynical thing. At least I do.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you read the Gospels, I don't know, if you're just reading them at face value, Jesus isn't always nice.
No. That's right.
I mean, he gets angry.
He does.
He gets upset about things that are wrong. He wants to correct those things that are wrong. He wants to bring things back into order.
That's right.
He speaks against those that religious spirit that is bringing people into captivity, that's
yeah.
not dealing with those inner things. He gets kind of feisty.
He does, and he also shows all the emotions. He cries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's moved with compassion. And so Jesus is not this stiff, unemotional person.
Right.
I mean, he shows emotion. And
that's
he
right.
doesn't, like, he's not embarrassed of it.
Right.
He's not trying to hide it constantly.
Yeah.
He was just out there, you know? And but we want to hide things, and we want to pretend like we're always happy all the time. Because we think everybody, right, is supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
And so we stuff those negative, those emotions that we don't like down. And we don't really want to talk about them.
Yeah.
So, and it happens in our marriage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things the scripture is saying to us is anger's okay, but don't sin. Because, you know, there's a point where anger has to be resolved. Anger has to be dealt with. Anger has to be, in a healthy way, resolved. The unhealthy way is for something sinful to follow. And that oftentimes happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A couple gets angry, and what happens, honey?
Yelling, right? Of course,
yeah.
We don't do that.
Name calling.
Yes, name calling.
Threatening divorce.
Threatening, yeah.
I mean, it gets ugly yes. a lot of times.
Very quickly, a lot of times.
So good marriages are not marriages without anger.
Right.
But good marriages are marriages where you can process anger quickly mm-hmm. and in a healthy way.
Right.
But that's a challenge, isn't it?
It is, because if we've never really seen that modeled well, then we're kind of like, well, what frustrates me is when I have scripture and I'm like, God, you say this, but I don't know how to walk that out. I want to walk that out. I confess that I walk it out, but it's still, you know, I don't know how to do that. And so then we feel bad, and we feel, you know, of course the enemy is there accusing us. You know, you always do this, you'll always do that. And it opens us up to the enemy's lies.
Yeah.
And so it's frustrating.
Let me show you a couple of things, because we're kind of also doing a little bit of an advertisement here, because this emotionally healthy materials that we've been working through and processing through and that have been a huge blessing to us. I would say even so much so that it's saved us in ministry, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just because you're in ministry, being in ministry is like being in extreme discipleship. Quite honestly,
it's
I mean,
really
you God is working on you all the time. He's revealing things. He's bringing things to the surface. And unless you learn how to deal with things in a healthy way, I mean, you'll burn out, or you'll fall out, or you'll mess up, or you'll do something
okay.
bad. It'll just be a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship courses, which we're running one right now in relationships, we'll run one in the fall on emotionally healthy spirituality, helps you move from brokenness. Okay,
right.
We're all broken.
Yep.
And we bring brokenness into our marriage. We bring baggage into our marriage. And the healthier we get, personally, the healthier our marriage becomes.
Yes.
I like to say it like this. A whole me and a whole you equals a whole we.
Yes.
Because,
right.
You know, I've got my work to do. You've got your work to do before the Lord. And if we'll allow him to take us from brokenness, he'll take us on a journey to wholeness where we'll become more and more like him. And here, look at this one side, the left side. Defensive, low self-awareness, isolation, blame, anger, fear, self-absorption, addiction, and dishonesty. Anybody here ever dealt with any of those?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much got the whole list down myself.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a pretty good description, if you will, of some of the traits of an emotionally unhealthy person. Now, Jesus wants to take you on a journey in his family to becoming whole, which means you're approachable. You have a high self-awareness. This is so important. Augustine, the great leader of the church in the 600s, I believe it was, said this. He said, "Grant me, O God, that I might know myself, that I might know you better." Because a lot of times we're just really out of touch. One of the things I found, honey, is I was out of touch in a lot of ways with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
you kind of helped me with that, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of helped me with that.
Yeah. Well, you helped me too.
It's the way it is, isn't it?
I mean, it is in marriage. And I think what's interesting is, just like you said, hon, we are all broken. We're all broken. And what happens too is that we go into shame because of it. We just kind of want to hide that, not want to talk about it, because it makes us feel bad about ourselves. But that's really the lie of the enemy, right? Because there is hope in Christ. And so if you're looking at this list and going, "Dear Lord, I am all those things," there is hope, because all of us are all those things. And so, you know, there's no shame in that. But we need to be honest about, you know, before the Lord, before healing and real deliverance can come forth, there has to be a place of honesty.
Yeah.
You know, of,
that's right.
Yes, that is me. I, you know,
yeah.
That's exactly right.
So approachability, high self-awareness, non-reactivity.
Yeah.
Man, was I ever a reactor? I don't know how many men here in the house would admit you might have that challenge too. But I found myself a lot of times, honey, in life and even in leadership, reacting to something that was happening around me. Instead of acting, oftentimes I would react. And then I'd have to back up and try to fix the mess I'd created. And a lot of times it was not good. Taking responsibility, delight, courage, offering self as a gift, freedom, and honesty. Here's a cool little thing. John Gottman, who's actually a Jewish man, who's probably considered the foremost expert secularly on marriage, has defined what he calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's an interesting title that he uses. But he says that after 30, 40 years of working with couples, he can identify a couple within just a few minutes of whether or not that couple will divorce. And he has about a 90-some percent accuracy in his track record. And the four things he looks for is criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. Stonewalling would be shutting down, walking away, and not dealing with the problems. So I think you probably can figure out what the other three are. So one of the things that's helped us, and this is a tool that we teach in the emotionally healthy curriculum, is called CTR, or Community Temperature Reading.
Oh, yeah, this is
so
good.
We're going to give it a shot right here in front of you.
Oh, Lord.
And yesterday, I'm just going to tell you, I said to my wife, "Hey, should we rehearse this? Should we practice this?" And she's like, "Honey, part of the fun is just to do it in front of them and just be real." So here we are.
Pray for us.
Just real us. So I hope you love
our
us after this.
Oh, well, we love each other after.
So here it is.
We have been doing this.
It's
together,
a thermometer. Yeah, we've been doing this, and it's been very much a help to us.
Yeah.
It helps us to walk through difficult things without the criticism, the defensiveness, the stonewalling, all those things. So really has been helpful. You kind of work your way up the thermometer, okay? And this doesn't have to be wooden. It doesn't have to be, but, you know, we were teaching this, and Doug and Beth, Doug, touched in with me. I love these guys. And he said, "Pastor Jeff, we took the CTR and went and had a coffee date and just did the CTR together. It was so much fun." And this is a great tool. So here we go. It starts with appreciations or excitements, things that you're excited about. I'm excited about this, or I really appreciate what you do. And the reason we start with that is a lot of times, especially after a couple's been married for a while or you've had a friendship with somebody for a while, you think you appreciate them because you do in your heart and your mind, but you don't voice it. And let me just tell you, when you voice those appreciations, it really makes a difference. So, honey, I want to say to you, I really appreciated you cooking me some eggs yesterday for breakfast. That was so nice of you, and I really appreciate it when you, in your busy schedule, have time to cook for me. It makes me feel loved.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Okay, I have one too.
Okay.
I really appreciate it so much that you came in the other day and helped me unload the dishwasher, like all of it, and then loaded it back for me. It's really nice. Made me feel loved.
I love doing that with you and for you, honey, yes. For sure. The second level is, I forget it sometimes, but I like that. The second one is worries, concerns, or puzzles. And we use the word puzzle because it really is a helpful term to use. And this is where you kind of get into those tricky areas because you don't exactly know how to bring something up. But this word is really helpful. So, like, for instance, you would say something like this. Honey, I'm puzzled why you were late to our prayer gathering this morning.
Yeah. That is a struggle for me. And, I need to get up a little earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
good. I'll continue to work on that.
Yeah. I know
that
I'm
used
a very...
to be a fight. I'm telling you, it would. It would be a fight.
Yeah.
But this really helps us. And I have to tell you, if you don't mind me interrupting a little.
No, not at all.
This is not, this kind of just is like the training wheels on riding a bike. So if you've got areas that like, dear Lord, let's not touch that right now. This would not be the puzzle thing. I would not use that right now. These are light things. Like, you know, you're not going to have a big explosion, right? So, okay, I'm puzzled.
Uh-oh. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Now, a month or so ago, I think you started a project.
Yes.
You know, and you were cleaning off some things.
Yes.
And it was on the table.
Your puzzle
it's still
come to completion.
Yeah, I am puzzled.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just lost track of that baby, but I appreciate it. I'll get back to that.
Thank you.
For you, because I love you.
Yeah.
All right, the third one, and this one kind of goes a little deeper. Still, we're keeping it light. But
yeah.
It helps deal with some tricky things. It's I notice and I prefer. I notice and I prefer. And I don't know how many of you have ever gotten an argument over crazy stuff. We
right.
sure have.
Been in the crazy.
But this is a good way to approach it without it being a conflict.
Well, and it's a good way to, it's kind of like bringing your complaint. Many times we bring our complaint, but then we don't take any responsibility to help solve it.
Mm.
And so then we don't tell people what we really want. Mm. It's like, well, I don't like that. But then you don't tell them what you really want, what you like instead. And so it comes across as real criticism.
Hmm.
So if we're not careful, then our spouse can feel like, I can never win. I just, you know, you're always complaining about something. So it does that make sense? So it helps to, okay, so.
Well, I notice, honey, in our bathroom, we have two sinks.
We do.
You know, and, but we have kind of, you know, limited counter space.
Yes.
And I notice a lot of times I'll come in to get ready in the morning, and I'll have to move, you know, your contact cleaner and maybe a thing of your makeup and maybe, you know, a bottle of your mousse or hairspray. And I just, you know, I notice that happens at times, and I would prefer maybe if you could keep some of that on your side of the sink.
I will try harder on that.
Oh, thank you, doll.
Yes, I will.
Thank
I understand.
You.
I do spread. Are you, women, are you like that? I spread out everywhere. I just spread everywhere. And, so I will try to keep my stuff on my
body. Thank you, doll. Yes. Thank you.
Well, I noticed that the other day when I made the eggs for you, that you left your dish in the sink without putting it in the dishwasher.
Oh.
And I would prefer that you would clean that and put it in the dishwasher
for me. Okay. Well, that's a good point, honey. And I do that sometimes.
Yes.
I do.
Now, you are laughing because you all feel the same way, don't you? I know. This used to be a... You know what would happen? I would get really upset about it, and then I would feel, ladies, what do you feel? Taken advantage of. He doesn't really appreciate me. See if I make him eggs next time. I mean, it's not nice, the thoughts that go through my mind. You laugh, but it's true, right? And so, but this is a way to really clear that air, and it doesn't really build, because it'll build. And believe me, the enemy is always looking for opportunities. So then that happens, and then something else will happen, and then something else will happen, and at the end of the day, you're like ready to rip into each other. Okay. And so, anyway, all right.
All right, hopes and wishes. These are just kind of like future things, things that you have in your heart, things that, new news. I'm sorry, I skipped new news. New news, and so this is kind of new news to maybe you and to our congregation. We're going this next week to study this emotionally healthy discipleship with Pete and Jerry Scazzaro, the kind of the founders of this. They have one of the award-winning books out on this, and they have a great church in New York City, and so we're going to go and be a part of that. I asked you if you'd go, and you said only if we don't drive.
No, I don't want
to
drive.
You didn't want to drive with me in New York City again. I'm not sure why, but anyway, we're going, and it's going to be wonderful. We got some blessing from Foursquare for leadership development. We're going to go and do this. And my new news is one of the nights that we have free, I'm going to take you to a Broadway play.
Nice, thank you.
Well, that's my new news.
Okay.
How you like that?
I do. I like that a lot. I like that new news.
Good. So
that's a blessing.
You have any new news for me?
I do. Okay. Our daughter is not feeling well this morning, and she is not here.
Oh, so. Okay.
Stomach
okay.
is bothering her. Y'all can pray for her.
Thank you for that. Yeah. And then last is hopes and wishes. And my hopes and wish is that really this next week, that not only are you and I able to absorb the teaching and the training, which is going to be very in-depth and very helpful, but that really, quite honestly, that we're able to take it and model it and mentor it here for everybody in this congregation, because we love the people God's given us here at New Song. So that's my hopes and wish. How about you?
Hopes and wishes. I hope while we're gone on our trip that our kids are well.
Yes.
My son is in the back. Yes. That they do well while we're gone.
So, yes, I believe they will. Thank you, honey, for doing this.
So that's an example. But you can also do like a little bit. You don't have to do the whole thing, you know, if you don't have a lot of time. But you can always do the appreciation. You could do puzzle, but tread lightly. If you haven't done the appreciation, you might not want to do the puzzle. You might want to do the appreciation first before the puzzle. So anyway, so you could just do bits and pieces of that too. It just gives you tools to help communicate, which is hugely important.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So number three habit is having fun together and being best friends.
Yes.
Having fun together and being best friends. And this is a huge need for men. Whether we really understand it or not, it's big for us. We want to have fun together with our spouse. We want to go and do things, have adventures together. I noticed this yesterday at Will and Victoria's wedding. And by the way, Chip did a great job. He did the ceremony. And he talked about how the two of them love to go on adventures together. And I thought that was really cool. And then he kind of wove that into the marriage, message and talked about the adventure of love together. But men love to, it's one of the top four needs of men is that they can have fun together with their spouse. We want a buddy, quite honestly, to have fun with. We don't want a mom to mother us. We already had a mom and we don't want another mom. We want a friend. So really, really important. And praying for Will and Victoria as they start their adventure together. I heard the story, in fact, honey, of a couple that were having troubles, and the man was an avid hunter, and the woman didn't want to have anything to do with hunting, right? But their marriage was really in trouble. It was really struggling, and he was getting ready to go on a big hunting trip, and she took a step of faith and asked, could I go with you on the hunting trip and go hunting with you? And their marriage was in a difficult spot. He was a little bit afraid, being alone with her in the woods with a gun. You know what I'm saying? But he said, okay. And you know what happened, honey? It healed their marriage. Because a man wants to have that camaraderie, to have fun, to do things together with his wife. She entered his world. And men, you've got to find ways to enter your wife's world too. You know, I'm becoming more and more of a fan of Hallmark. I never thought I'd admit that.
It makes me happy.
Please don't take my man card, gentlemen. But, you know, my wife loves these Hallmark movies, and I've actually been able to sit through a couple now. Yeah. It's pretty good. I'm growing.
You are. I appreciate that. I do think it's a humbling thing to be able to go into each other's worlds. And, you know, it just is. It's instead of going, well, you need to come into my world. You know, we can get real stuck like that. And I think it's just us humbling ourselves and really, you know, making ourselves do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd ask you the question this morning, what are you doing to have fun together? Sometimes you lose that with kids and busyness and careers. What are you doing to have fun together? Because, I'll tell you this. You take sex and fun away from a marriage, and basically all you have is a business relationship. And marriage is a crummy business relationship. It's meant to be the most close, intimate, wonderful relationship on this earth. So have fun together, couples. How do you build a habit of having fun together? First of all, the discipline of a date night. The discipline of a date night. We had a great date night this past week. Make it every week. And here's what it means. When you set a date night as a couple, it means you're not going to let your kids run your marriage. You're going to keep giving priority and precedent to your marriage. You're going to keep building it. You're going to keep building that cohesion together, that intimacy together. Be creative. You know, if you can't afford it, if you're a young couple and you're like, well, you can't afford a babysitter and the kids aren't old enough to take care of each other, then trade off with another couple. There's creative ways to do this. And then the discipline of time alone together. I mean, you and I have found that daily we need to find some time together. And we need to protect that.
We do. And then we need to be careful what we're talking about. So if you're constantly talking about the kids, if you're constantly talking about finances
work,
or, you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
those are the types of things a lot of times that take away from your intimacy. Because it can cause stress, and, you know, you're both just kind of trading off stress.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to say, hey, we're not going to talk about that mm-hmm. when we're here. So I think that's really important to have those boundaries. And you know what? Even if you cross them, go, hey, we're not supposed to be talking about it, and then come back again.
Right.
Just don't give up. Because sometimes we can get in that habit, and all of a sudden we're talking about that mm-hmm. before we realize it. So. Mm-hmm. I think that's good.
And then lastly, our fourth habit is building close relationships individually and as a couple with other believers. I really believe in this. God, we need each other. We really need each other. And God has said that very clearly in his word. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In the New Testament says, walk with the wise and you'll become wise. So, you know, you got to make a choice on relationships because, quite honestly, your friends are your future. You hang out with the right people, it'll help you go in the right direction. You choose the wrong people, it'll take you down the wrong path. Is that right?
That's right. Yep, we need each other to encourage one another. And, you know, if you're around people who don't value marriage, then that, you know, that influences you too. Or it can. So you have to be really careful about that.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, hang out with people who value their marriage. Hang out with people who are protecting their marriage, who believe in their, you know, or if you're single, hang out with people who have a heart for God, who are drawing closer to God. I mean, this is really important. Get with other people of prayer and faith, healthy people, or people who are on that journey to becoming healthier.
Yeah. And
that's important.
They're growing, and you can see what they're talking about. You know, if you want to know that, listen to what's important to them. What are they talking about? Because that we talk about what's important to us.
Yeah, one last scripture, and we'll close up today. In fact, I'll go ahead and ask the worship team to come back and the ministry team to come forward. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, that's kind of old language. In other words, get together with other people that are going to encourage you. Get together with other people that are going to strengthen you. exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, listen, the closer we get to the end times, the more you're going to need healthy relationships around you to stay healthy and strong yourself. Amen? So, you know, as we've shared these four habits, you might look at them and go, you know, we do one or two of these, but I want to encourage you to really make sure you're doing all four. So maybe there's one or two that you need to add as you consider what we've talked about. Would you bow your heads and let's pray for a minute. Father, I pray that you'd just speak to our hearts. You'd show us the things to put in place in our lives, our relationships, our marriages, that will set us apart. Lord, your people are set apart people. Your people are supposed to have the healthiest relationships. Your people are supposed to be the most loving people. Your people are supposed to be the most forgiving people. Your people, I believe, should be the most encouraging people. And God, we should have the healthiest marriages, the healthiest relationships. People should see that who are not believers and be drawn to it. So God, continue, please continue to do your good work in each and every one of us, that we'd have strong and healthy marriages and strong and healthy relationships. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to worship together. If you have a prayer need today, these are wonderful folks who'd love to pray for you today, whatever that need might be. We're going to sing through this song, and I'll come back and dismiss us in just a moment. God bless you.
Focus on eternal prize. Stay